Blog Talk Radio.
My ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumbed in silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an hind breath, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumbed. I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to be consumed away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold out thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, O Lord, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Labor.
word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I recognize that there is only one true and living God who exists as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is worthy of all honor, praise, and glory as the one who made all things and hold all things together. Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can also visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com. For all your church supplies, including Bibles, books, audiobooks, Bible study, music, jewelry, apparel, greeting cards, and much more, visit our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. Our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. Our online Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.reverseofrevival.com. As we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world by honoring the Great Commission, we would like to share with you tonight our statement of faith. We believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible Word of God. We believe that there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the Church of God, which is in Christ and His return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance, faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and being baptized in water. We believe that regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body in answer to believing prayer. We believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2 verse 4, is given to believers who ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separated life in this present world. We believe in the Great Commission, according to Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20 and Mark 16 verses 17 through 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Matthew closes his gospel with Jesus Christ's climactic announcement of his great commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. On what mission were they sent? To overrun the world with armies and to use weapons to force people to submit to them? No. They were to make disciples of all nations. From mountaintop of Jesus Christ's ascension, Jesus' disciples began this mission, radiating from that center out into the world. And Jesus' disciples will continue to make disciples until they have reached everywhere in the world. I'm sorry. Christian faith is not national or racial religion, and it has no natural boundaries. It means to reach around the globe. Beloved, I encourage you to make a difference. Join me in proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honor the Great Commission. sole purpose is to equip the members of the body of Jesus Christ with the tools necessary to effectively function in the call of God on their lives. As believers, we are commissioned by the Lord to take the knowledge of Jesus Christ throughout the world. I pray that these teachings will be a blessing to you and will help you fulfill the Great Commission. I encourage you to join us every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. That is www.blogtalkradio.com/REV Davis. These teachings provide biblically based instruction to develop those that may be lacking basic understanding of the Word of God. How did it begin? How will it end? Do you want to learn the truth about creation? The creation of the heavens, the planet, the stars, earth, space, animals, plants, etc.? Do you want to receive in-depth teachings explaining the dynamics of creation of man, the fall of man, its effect on creation and generations to come, man and woman's judgment? Do you want to know why God flooded the earth? Why are there so many languages? Why did man's lifespan decrease? What is the end of the world? Will it happen suddenly? Then you are invited to join us every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information and to receive copies of these teachings, which can be used in Bible study forums, write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you can email us at hodminister@gmail.com. God bless you as we continue on this spiritual journey. Our scripture for tonight is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, the King James Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness to him, and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness, of all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" Let us honor God's word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Recognized Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. I believe that he came to destroy the works of the devil, and that he disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public display of them, having triumphant over them. As we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world by honoring the Great Commission, our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's book of Acts. We encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. Our lessons will be in the beginning, the end. Tonight we will be teaching in the beginning, chapter 2. Studying the beginnings of creation and the end, we catch a glimpse of the greatness and magnificent glory of the living God. The creative arts regarding the natural realm is awe-inspiring. The sheer magnitude of space and the heavenly bodies, and the complexities of all living beings are not some act of accidental evolution, rather something that require great wisdom and knowledge to design and then animate. How great thou art, O Lord, of all things. In this lesson, I will endeavor to give clarity by the Holy Spirit of the recreation or reestablishing and reordering of the earth, including its land masses and atmosphere. Yet in the lessons that will follow, we will address the stellar bodies and living beings that inhabit the earth. Was there a flood before the flood of Noah's time? When examining Genesis 1 verse 2, we see water covering the entire earth. Was this part of the original creation? If so, why don't we see any place in which the Word tells us that the Lord said, "Let there be water"? Because we see no evidence of the creation of water, we must deduce that it was created with the original creation of the earth and not the re-establishing of the earth, as we see in verses 2 onward. This can provoke further thought, especially regarding the very good possibility that the first earth was destroyed by a flood, seeing that it was water covered the earth. Let us look at Genesis 1 verse 2. It says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." This scripture never tells us that the Spirit of God moved upon the water and the land, rather, just the waters, implying that no land masses were visible in or above the waters. Flood waters could not have been the very thing that ended the first earth, because of corruption from Satan and other fallen angels, just as it happened in Noah's time. We see in Genesis 6, verse 1 through 7, the wickedness of man, as well as the tampering with human flesh from the sons of God, implying beings directly created by the hand of God. All people who were born through the human birthing process are not the sons of God. Rather, the sons and daughters of men. Only Adam, Eve, and Jesus Christ were sons and daughters of God. It is upon the new birth that men and women get the privilege, when our spirit man or woman is reborn directly from the hand of God. This is why Jesus was both the Son of God and the Son of Man. Let us take a look at Genesis 6, verse 1 through 7, to see what conditions were in place to cause the flood of Noah's day, giving us evidence of the probability of the pre-re-established earth flood. It reads, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born which they choose, and the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were out of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. The enemy's influence opened the door to sin. In turn, man and beast began to act outside of God's design plan, causing God to bring an end to the chaos and restart. It is a good possibility that God used the flood to cleanse the earth of the beings, both men and animal, that the enemy used to bring wickedness upon it. We also see that the fallen angels, sons of God, tampered with human flesh, causing giants to be born, who were part angelic and part human. This also had to be cleansed. So we see that when worldwide flood happens, that it is to cleanse the earth of both the effects of sin and the influence that causes it, demonic spirits. This leads me to believe that the original earth had the same issue and was cleansed through a worldwide flood of demonic influence and its effects on the beings that originally lived on the planet. Just like Satan came back at the re-establishing of earth in the Garden of Eden, we see he also returned after the flood of Noah's day. Yet God promises never to flood the earth again or destroy all flesh again, which can imply that he not only flooded the earth once, but at other times. Genesis 9, verses 11 through 13 says, And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore, by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. There is a good possibility that God was not just referring to Noah's flood causing the destruction of flesh on the earth, but also what had happened with the original creation.
Oh,
Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com. For all your church supplies, including Bibles, books, audiobooks, Bible study, music, jewelry, apparel, greeting cards, and much more, visit our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. Our online Bible Institute at houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. Our online Bible college at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.riversofrevival.com. The Trinity in Creation. When studying creation, it is imperative that we understand the role of the Trinity in it. What part did the Father play? From part one of this lesson, we know that all things were made by the Word of God, or the Son Jesus. Yet, what was the Holy Spirit's role in creation? Let us examine Genesis 1, verses 2 and 3, where we will find the Trinity in operations. It says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be." We find the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, moving over the waters of the earth. What was he doing? Waiting. You see, there is an order in the Trinity, although there is equality. The first person in the Trinity is God the Father, which causes us to know that in action, which is his will, he is also first. The second person of the Trinity is the Son, Jesus Christ, causing us to know that after the Father's action, then the next phase of everything in God would be from the Son. The third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit, causing us to understand that after the Father's actions and the Word's declaration, comes the part of the Holy Spirit. The order of the Trinity is not haphazard, rather ordered. In the above text of Scripture, we see the different roles of the Trinity in creation. The Father reveals his will. His will is declared by the Word, which is the Son. The Holy Spirit waits for the declaration of the will of God by the Word of God. And he, the Holy Spirit, empowers the Word of God, bringing the will of God into manifestation. In the above text of Scripture, we see the Holy Spirit moving upon the face of the waters, waiting for the declaration of the will of God by his word, in which he would empower or bring into manifestation. Often in reading the Word of God, we can brush over things that we do not fully understand. Yet I believe it is the desire of our Heavenly Father to open up our understanding regarding His Word. This is very true regarding this next text of Scripture dealing with the light. It is the mindset of man to believe that everything must come from something else. With God, this is not so regarding things coming from other created objects. God is the Creator, and He can call forth something from nothing, as well as God can cause something to exist without nothing. This is the case in Genesis 1, verses 3 through 5 regarding light. Let us examine this scripture. It says, "And God said," "let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Where was this light from? We can be sure that it was not the light of the sun, moon, or stars, for they were not yet created. There are several possibilities, but we will look at one. God does not need a rock like our sun to set on fire, or a light switch to cause light to appear. God is the source of light. This illumination did and not have to originate from anything else but God's word. When God speaks, things happen just because He says so. Now it is important to know that before the sun existed, God allowed day and night based on His radiant light that shines by a declaration of His word. The earth still rotated on its axis, yet it did not turn towards the sun for day and away from it for night. Rather, the sun, the word of God, is what shone its light. God fixed His word in space before the earth, and it turned in front of it, giving light to the parts that were facing it, and the darkness to the parts that faced space. God's speech or word is light. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." The Hebrew word for word is dabar, pronounced dava, meaning speech, word, speaking, utterance. The Hebrew word for a lamp is nair, pronounced nair, meaning lamp, candle, light. God's speech is a light. When God says something, it releases radiant light. This is why, when the Christian speaks the word of God, it dispels, pushes back darkness due to its composition, which is light. God established light as a point of time. we see in Genesis 1 verse 5 that after the light was established, then time based on days was now in effect. The next thing in the creation process that we need to understand is what is called the firmament. Genesis 1 verses 6 through 8 speaks of this thing that God created on the second day. It reads, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." Firmament is defined as a strength, support, or buffer. The Hebrew word for firmament is rekuia, pronounced rekia, meaning extended surface, expanse, vault of heaven supporting waters above. It is the sky or heavens directly above the earth. This firmament is not just open space, rather an atmosphere that is conducive to life. Wikipedia defines the atmosphere of the earth as a layer of gases surrounding the planet Earth that is retained by Earth's gravity. The atmosphere protects life on Earth by absorbing ultraviolet solar radiation, warming the surface through heat retention, and reducing temperature extremes between day and night. Many may say that God never said, "Let there be gases surrounding the earth." Yet when God said, "Let there be a firmament," all of the thoughts that he had in his mind of the composition of the atmosphere, its purposes and functions, were contained in that one word, firmament. When he said the word firmament, that word added in it 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, 1% argon, and less than 0.5% carbon dioxide, which make up what we call air. The information contained in one word from God could fill all the libraries that exist presently and have ever existed on our planet. God's word can speak the full intent of his mind regarding that word without having to speak each point of intentions individually. So we have established that this firmament was the sky directly above the earth. There is something that would seem strange to the mind of those knowledgeable in science today, and that is that the firmament or sky separated water. Some waters were above it, not in it, such as with the clouds, and some waters were below it. God used the sky that is immediately above the earth to separate the water that was on the planet. Please understand that before the flood of Noah's day, there was water around the whole outer atmosphere of the earth. And then the sky was below it, followed by the land and seas on the earth. This large body of water around the outer atmosphere of the earth is supported by Genesis chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, which reads, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the mountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heavens were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Tells us that the windows of heaven were opened, denoting that they were closed prior. These windows were escape doors that God had established for these waters that were above the heaven, in which he opened, causing the flood. There was so much water that it took 40 days and nights to empty the atmosphere of it. While we are addressing the flood that was released when the windows of heaven were opened, the question may come up into our minds as to where are these waters now? Genesis 8, verses 1 through 3, gives us insight as to what happened to the waters. It reads, and God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a window to pass over the earth, and the waters surged. The fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. The scripture tells us that the wind passed over or blew upon the earth, causing the water to surge. What did the wind actually do? It did not dry all the water up. Rather, it blew it back. Where? To the polar caps. And there, they were frozen to keep them bound and honor God's covenant never to flood the earth again. also some of the waters abated, diminished, or decreased off the earth into underground rivers or caverns. I believe that the waters above the heaven served a greater purpose, causing an ideal atmosphere for life to be extended. This is why, even after sin, man lived many years. This water buffer kept harmful things out of the earth's atmosphere, giving man extended life. When we look at lifespans after the flood, they decreased dramatically. God even declared in Genesis 6 that he was decreasing man's lifespan to 120 years. It is a possibility that God knew that the removal of the water protection would cause this decrease in lifespans. The next thing that God did, upon the re-establishing of the earth on the third day, was that he brought forth landmass and agriculture, trees, grass, and herbs. Genesis 1, Genesis 1, verses 9 through 13 says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together upon one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the sea. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day." God caused the waters on the earth to be gathered unto one place, giving birth to one great landmass. Again, not several continents or islands, but one whole landmass, or a supercontinent. Scientists call this the continent Pangaea. Many believed that this supercontinent existed 225 million years ago, and over time, 200 or more million years, the supercontinent broke apart and caused the seven continents that we presently have. There are theories of men guessing and using their assumptions as facts. They should have referenced the Bible, which would have given them facts. Yes, there was one supercontinent that broke apart. Yet the Bible tells us when it happened in Genesis 10, verses 22 through 25, which says, the children of Shem, Helam and Hasher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram, and the children of Aram, Uz and Ul, Geber and Mash. And Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the herd divided. And his brother's name was Joktan. We see here that the earth was divided five generations after Noah's son Shem. The Hebrew word for divided is Pelag, pronounced Pelag, meaning to divide or split. It is here, after the flood of Noah's day, that the supercontinent split or broke apart, causing the seven continents. God probably allowed the tectonic plates on the earth's crust to shift and break, causing the continents to slide away one another. There was also a huge body of water that surrounded this supercontinent. Although it was only one body of water, they were called yet seas and not the sea. God probably was making a distinction from the waters on one side of the continent and the other, quite possibly the waters in the north and south, east and west, were all different seas. We also have the earth bringing forth grass, herbs, vegetation, and trees. Notice that God did not say, let there be grass, herbs, and trees. Rather, let the earth bring forth. These things were probably existent in the earth from the earlier creation, and God just spoke them forth from dormancy to life, expediting the germination process in a one-day event. Each of these things had seed within themselves, causing the ability for them to multiply and grow abundantly upon the earth. God spoke their process into being and then allowed what he created them to do happen. This was the end of the third day, in which God saw that his work was good.
Thank you.
Commission. Our lesson for tonight, in the beginning, chapter 2. I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information, or if you would like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Helmand, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. I would like to extend an invitation to you to join me on the Roman road to salvation. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you had previously accepted Him and turned away from Him, beloved, God created us in His own image to have an abundant life. God gave us a will and freedom of choice. We choose to disobey, resulting in separation from God. I encourage you tonight to turn away from the sins of the world and to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Tonight, He is standing at the door of your heart, knocking, listening, and waiting for you to make that decision. For those who have turned away from Him, He's waiting to be restored as the Lord and Master of your lives. I'm pleading to you tonight to renew your commitment to Jesus Christ. Will you receive Him right now? Romans 3, verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 10, verse 9 says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all to ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Matthew 16, verse 24, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Beloved, salvation is a gift, and you can receive it right this very minute if you will admit you are a sinner and ask Jesus Christ to save you. God wants to give you the best gift ever offered anyone. Why not accept him now? God loves you, and he wants you to experience peace and life abundant and eternal. Here is how you can receive Jesus Christ. Admit your need. I am a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sins. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. Through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I believe in you and that your word is true. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he died on the cross so that I may now have forgiveness for my sins and eternal life. I know that without you in my heart, my life is meaningless. I know that Jesus Christ can save me, and he is the only one who can save me. I believe in my heart that you, Lord, raised him from the dead. Dear Lord, forgive me for every sin I have ever committed or done in my heart. I am sorry for my sins. Right now, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And amen. God, Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent and I thank you, Lord. I bless your name, O Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for this opportunity to minister to your people, dear Lord God. And I thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, O Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will bless each and every person who listens tonight, dear God. I pray that you will touch them, Father. I pray that they reflect on their lives in the name of Jesus. And I pray that they'll turn away from the sins of this world. Father, I'm a sinner, and I ask your forgiveness, Lord God. I pray for a thorough cleansing of my life, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray, O God, that I'll not stumble, but I'll stand strong on your word. Lord, I bless you tonight. And I give you the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Dearly beloved, the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Receiving Jesus Christ, we are born again into God's family through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. This is called regeneration or the new birth. This is the beginning of a wonderful new life in Jesus Christ. To help you grow spiritually, you must do the following. Read your Bible daily to know Jesus Christ better. Talk to God in prayer every day. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Worship, fellowship, and serve with other Christians in a church where Jesus Christ is preached. As a representative of Jesus Christ in the needy world, you must demonstrate your new life by your love and concern for others. And as we come to the end of our show tonight, we thank God once again for the opportunity to minister to his people. And we pray that tonight's show was a blessing to you. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even by thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. God bless you, and good night.